Greet you in the name of Jesus this morning. It's always a blessing to be with our church family, to study God's word and to worship, to be encouraged, to be strengthened. It's a new year, and for some reason, I was drawn to Genesis, and as I began studying for a message this Sunday, I began looking at creation and thought perhaps I would preach a message on creation. And then it took a slightly different course over the period of several days. And I had a little trouble coming up with one I wanted to share, but I did then. Genesis, as you know, the word Genesis means the origin or the beginnings of something. And the book of Genesis records the beginning of history, of time. God, of course, doesn't live in time. God always was. And if you want to stretch your mind, try imagining that, and you hit overload. We can't go there, can we? One thing that has helped me is to try to imagine the limits of space. And so if somewhere out there's a wall, what's on the other side of the wall? Or how thick is the wall? You can't imagine that either. Well, thinking about creation, I for one have become stronger in my feelings that it is imperative how we feel about creation, and I do hold to the traditional view of 6 24-hour days of creation. Many believers do not, but they point out the fact that it's impossible for the earth to be less than 10,000 years old because of science and biology and all those things. But I'm encouraged by the fact that that small, small percentage of scientists who are creation scientists, it's like less than 2%. They have come up with some reasonable answers to the impossibilities that I feel good about. And on the other side, the problems with evolution, evolutionary peoples have not come up with good answers for their problems. So take that to heart. I really feel theory of evolution is simply man's desperate attempt to explain the universe, the world, our bodies, who we are outside of God. It is a desperate attempt. And I would remind us that creation is taught throughout Scripture. But this morning, I'd like to look at a message entitled Created in His Image, and I'm going to be looking at verses 26 through 28. But before I do that, I do want to look at Genesis 1. And before I even do that, I want to let you just take you to some of these verses. Pay attention to these verses from other parts of Scriptures. Four of them here from the Old Testament. Psalm 33, verse 6, by the word of the Lord, the heavens were made, and all the host of them by the breath of his mouth. 102:25. Of old you laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the work of your hands. Isaiah 44:24, thus saith the Lord your Redeemer, and he who formed you from the womb, I am the Lord who makes all things, who stretched out the heavens all alone, who separates abroad the earth by myself. Zechariah 10:12, thus says the Lord, who stretches out the heavens, laid the foundations of the earth, and forms the spirit of man within him. I find that interesting verse. 4 from the New Testament, John 1:1. In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him nothing was made that was made. Acts 14:15b. That you should turn from these useless things to the living God who made the heaven, the earth, the sea, and all things that are in them. Colossians 1:16. For by him all things were created, that are in heaven, that are on earth, visible, invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created through him and for him. And Hebrews 11:3, by faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. Everything was made from nothing. An impossibility in our mind, but it all came from nothing. And the Hebrew word there, I didn't write it down, but it means created from nothing. And these eight, by the way, are just some. There are many others. Psalm 8:3, 89:11, 136:5, 146:6. Jeremiah 10:12, 51:15, Acts 17:24, Hebrews 1:10, Revelation 10:4, Revelation 11:6, all speak specifically about God creating and being the creator. So I'd like to take you now to Genesis chapter 1. You can look in your Bible or you can follow on the wall. And I'd like for you to notice the verses that says, and God said, let there be, verses 3, 6, 9, 11, 14, 20, and 24. Genesis 1, verse 1, New King James. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. Then God said, let there be light, and there was light. And God saw the light, that it was good, and God divided the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. So the evening and the morning were the first day. Then God said, let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters. Now let it divide the waters from the waters. Thus God made the firmament and divided the waters which were under the firmament from the waters which were above the firmament, and it was so. And God called the firmament heaven. So the evening and morning were the second day. Then God said, let the waters under the heavens be gathered together into one place, and let the dry land appear. And it was so. And God called the dry land earth, and the gathering together of the waters he called seas. And God saw that it was good. Then God said, let the earth bring forth grass and herb that yields seed, and the fruit tree that yields fruit according to its kind, whose seed is in itself on the earth. And it was so. And the earth brought forth grass, the herb that yields seed according to its kind, and the tree that yields fruit, whose seed is in itself according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. So the evening and the morning were the third day. Then God said, let there be lights in the heavens, in the firmament of the heavens, to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs and seasons, for days and years, and let them be light, let them be for lights in the firmament of the heavens to give light on the earth. And it was so. Then God made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day, and the lesser light to rule the night. He made the stars also. Just a statement, he made the stars also. It's at last count somewhere a one with 22 zeros behind it, how many stars there are. Then God set them in the firmament of the heavens to give light on the earth, and to rule over the day and over the night, and to divide the light from the darkness. And God saw that it was good. And to rule over the, verse 19. So the evening and the morning were the fourth day. Then God said, let the waters abound with abundance of living creatures, and let birds fly above the earth and across the face of the firmament of the heavens. So God created great sea creatures and every living thing that moves, with which the waters abounded according to their kind, and every winged bird according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. And God blessed them, saying, be fruitful and multiply, and fill the waters of the sea, and let the birds multiply on the earth. So the evening and the morning were the fifth day. Then God said, let the earth bring forth the living creature according to its kind, cattle and creeping things and beasts of the earth, each according to its kind. And it was so. And God made the beast of the earth according to its kind, cattle according to its kind, and everything that creeps on the earth according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. That's creation. That's creation. All but one. One thing left. One thing left. And that is where I'd like for you to draw your attention to what it says in verse 26. Then God said, let us make man in our image according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. Then God blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it. Have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves on the earth. Do you notice the change from, and God said, let there be, and God said, let there be, and God said, let there be? And then at the very end, when all everything else was created, then God said, let us make man in our image according to our likeness. All of a sudden, and by the way, the word God in English, translated from the word Elohim, the Hebrew word, Elohim is a plural word. And so our English doesn't pick up on that. But all of a sudden, we're going from God said to a committee. Right? God said, let us make man in our image. And I've had to wonder, as an Old Testament saint heard these words, or heard these words read, or perhaps read them himself, a few of them, what would he have thought about? We in the New Testament, we've been introduced to God the Son and God the Holy Spirit. An Old Testament saint? What did he think about? Let us make man in our image. It's significant because God, as he makes man in his image, one of the significant things is that God is, well, I'm going to save that. We'll get to that. What does it mean to be created in the image of God? I did a little search and discovered that theologians have debated this for centuries, and they don't all agree. So forget the theologians. Here's what I think Scripture tells us. But what in your mind means that you and I are created in the image of God? Is it because is it, we look like him. We have a head and arms and feet, hands, toes. Is it that? Well, I think if you contrast, if we are created in his image versus the animals, animals also have arms and legs and feet and toes, and some of them at least. I think the only difference is that we stand upright on 2 feet. Most of them are on 4. So no, I don't think it's a physical likeness, but it's something else. And I'd like to say this. There are no one-half humans. There's no 80% humans. There's only 100% humans. You cannot mix the species. There will never be. You can't mix humans and animals. In fact, I don't know if what people were thinking, but they say the HIV/AIDS virus is most likely a result from sex between men and monkeys. Isn't that awful? You can't mix. You are either 100% human or 100% not human, okay? And so every human being on the face of this earth is 100% human, 100% created in the image of God. What does that mean? I'd like to just lead you through some things that I believe it means, what it means to be created in the image of God. Number one, and this one might surprise you, sinless perfection. I firmly believe when Adam and Eve were created in the garden, they were without sin. They were in sinless perfection as God himself. And their choice to disobey God resulted in marring that image. The image of God in us has been marred, has been distorted by sin, but not originally. Not originally. Adam and Eve were created in perfection. In contrast, plants and animals, they're not in sinless perfection. They don't sin. They don't have the capacity to break God's law. Unfortunately, however, when sin entered the world, they also were cursed. They also were cursed, plants and animals, and death. Death came into our world, which in by contrast to evolution, evolution is based on death because evolution is based on the survival of the fittest. And so over eons of time, over billions of years, you've got the strongest cells, the strongest, what's the word? Help me out. The strongest species surviving and the weakest ones dying off. In contrast to this word, here is when death began. So the fall marred that image, but we were created in sinless perfection. Our first parents were. Secondly, we are spiritual beings. When God created us, he created us not only as physical beings, but as spiritual beings. The physical part of us is made up of the same elements as the animals. If you would break us down into what the chemicals are that are made up of our body, it's the same that animals are made of. However, we have a spiritual element. When Jesus was on the cross and he talked to the thief on the cross and he said, "Today, you will be with me in paradise." He certainly was not talking about his body. Because his body, that day, was put into a tomb, a rich man's tomb. I'm guessing the thief on the cross, I don't know where his body went, but it probably wasn't a rich man's tomb. It might have been a criminal's pile. I'm not sure. He was certainly not talking about his body. He was talking about his spirit. Today, you will be with me in paradise. And that is part of us. We are spiritual beings. We have a never-dying soul. Romans 8, verse 16. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. We know it within our spirit. Thirdly, we are rational beings. We have the capacity to reason as we receive information into our minds. We have the capacity to sift through all that information and to respond to certain situations. Now, animals do respond to their environment. Yes, they do. You can train animals to do most things. And animals, they learn to respond to their environment. Some of them are become like dogs, shows signs of quite a bit of intelligence. Just as an aside, we had a dog that didn't show any signs of intelligence. And when my brother Ken would come to my house, he'd say, "That dog has mental problems." Some of you have dogs that show signs of intelligence, but they still learn. They are trained. They react according to their environment. They learn certain things, and they will even rescue people in distress, people that are drowning. We have those stories. They'll do that. They react. They've learned. They will look out for their person that's feeding him or that they've become attached to. They'll look out for that person. They'll react to that environment. We are rational beings. We can sift through the information we got, and we can make choices according to that. And closely connected to that is the fact that we are moral beings. All of us have a God-given moral compass within us. And again, that moral compass has been distorted, has been distorted by the fall. and so yes, but we can choose right and wrong. We are moral beings. There is right and there is wrong. And we can choose right or choose wrong. We make moral choices. Excuse me. And that is probably one thing that we must remember, that when Jesus put on a human body, he put on humanity, and lived in a physical body with its limitations, that he chose to not ever sin. As a moral being, he chose to not do that. Fifthly, we are emotional beings. And I want to bring us back. We're created in the image of God. God is spiritual. God is rational. God is moral. His morality is always correct, always right, never wrong. God is an emotional being. God, the Bible tells us God is love. It talks about God's anger. It talks about different emotions. And we, in the image of God, are emotional beings. We can receive love. We can give love. We know fear. We know joy. We know euphoria. We know all those emotions. They are a part of us. And yes, God never sinned in his emotions. Even in his anger, it was never sinful anger. We, of course, can sin out of working out of our emotions. Not that the emotion itself is sin, but the outworking of it can turn into sin. But we, being created in the image of God, we are emotional beings. And sixthly, we are relational beings. And this brings me back to when God said, let us create man in our image. God is a relational God. He relates within himself. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit live in relationship with each other. And God, when he created us in his image, he created us to relate to him and with each other. He did. And scripture, of course, tells us that Paul in Ephesians tells us that the marriage relationship is simply a picture of God, of Christ in the church, of God the Son in the church, of his people. And so as we are relational beings, we interact with each other and with our Creator. He made us that way for a purpose. And just one thought. When God gave us the picture of marriage to picture him, even beyond that, God risked giving us the gift of sexual intimacy to show his desire to be intimate with us. Not in that way, of course not, but in an intimate way. In an intimate way. He risked that. And of course, we know that Satan plays havoc with that risk and uses it to his full advantage. And he reduces it to an animal level and not a relational level. A big part of being relational is that we have the capacity to worship Christ in adoration and praise. And I just like to say that let's not think of this wrongly. Let's not think that God in some selfish manner created man so that someone would worship him. No. No. But when you think about, when you truly, genuinely from your heart worship God, God is suddenly real and near, and you're worshiping him in praise and adoration. Is that duty? Is that because you have to? Oh, no. Absolutely not. In fact, what does it do for you? It lifts you up, doesn't it? It's for our good. God created us that we could worship, not for his good, for our good. That's why he made us relational. And genuine worship enhances our relationship with God, lifts us up. The quality of life increases as we learn to worship. Part of this relational being is the gift of language. And I like this one because evolutionists have problems with that one. How do you describe evolving into 5,000 languages that people speak? They don't have an answer to that. But God gave us language that we can speak with each other and with him. So what are the results of us being created in the image of God? And this is where I want us to think. What are those results? Results of being created in the image of God. Number one, life is sacred. As you look around and you observe humanity, every person on the face of this earth has been created in the image of God. And every person on the face of this earth is special to their Creator, who loves them immensely. Life is sacred, and so, of course, there's no room for killing the unborn, or for euthanasia, or for genocide, or for, taking out Osama bin Laden. And I'm not saying that that shouldn't have happened. I'm just saying I could never do that. Life is sacred. Every person on the face of this earth is special to God, created by Him and loved by Him. And killing a person is not like killing a possum or a cow or a plant. Life is sacred because all human life is created in the image of God. Secondly, there is no room for racism or sexism. Men and women were both created in the image of God. Male and female, He created them. Yes, man was created first. And because of that creation principle, there is a difference in responsibility, in function, but absolutely no difference in equal value, quality, and worth. Absolutely no difference. There is no room for sexism for the believer. There is no room for racism. There is no race that is superior, that God loves special. No race that is superior are special to God. Everyone is created in His image. And yes, there is differences in the races. I'm told that the East Asians overall have a higher IQ than the rest of us. Don't you wish you were East Asian? It's also obvious that on average, in our country at least, Blacks make better athletes. Just look at the NBA. If you have any doubts, look at them. So yeah, there's differences, but I'll tell you what, there is no difference in value. There's no one superior, no race. And just as an aside, through the centuries, there has been a theory propagated, not heavily, about the curse of Canaan. And some have tried to apply that. If I looked correctly, it said it wasn't pushed a lot during the Middle Ages. But when slavery came along in the 16th, 17th, and 18th century, people were pushing that theory as a justification for slavery. And I look at my Bible and I say, now wait a minute. Well, I was shocked when I was on sabbatical. I heard a minister actually allude to the fact that he thought that was a good theory. I could not believe it. Absolutely no room for that in a believer's thought. No room for that whatsoever. Thirdly, we exist in community, in relationship. Because we are created in the image of God, we are not an island. We need each other. We sacrifice for each other. We have compassion on each other, as we heard this morning in the devotional. There should be a bond simply because that other person, who may be way different than me, is a human being. I had an experience just Friday evening. Of course, I was working on this message, and I was up at Heritage watching Reagan play cross-courts basketball, and the game before his game, the Bulldogs were playing. They're from Basher home, and they bring a lot of fans with them. And as I sat there and I was observing, those people, and of course this message was on my mind, I just had a wave come over me. Every one of those people, some of them quite different than me, God created every one of them in his image, and he loves them immensely. And if we can start viewing everyone that way, I think it should impact us. When we view all people created in God's image, and that God loves them, and we have a message for them. We exist in community, in relationship. And I believe that we believers show the image of God to the world around us when we love each other in spite of our differences and disagreements. John 13:35, by this all will know that you are my disciples, if you have love one for another. So we're created in the image of God. We believers, I believe, have a message to the non-believer that you are created in God's image and God loves you. And I accept you, I love you, because you are created in God's image. And I have a message for you. God died for you. I trust that being created in the image of God will cause us to look upon others the way God does. The way God does. Let's pray. Father God, as we just bow in your presence, we praise you, we worship you. You are God, you are our creator. Not only did you create us, but you sent your Son to make a way for us, that in spite of sin, we can be reconciled to you because of Jesus and the work on the cross. And God, I would pray that every one of us here in this room would indeed respond to your love, your great love that you loved us with. Help us also, Lord, to think, to view others, your creation, as you do. To love them, to love people, and to encourage them in the ways that you have set out for us. I pray in the name of Jesus. Amen.